following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Come into the Home Depot this season. Recycle your old Christmas lights and get up to $5 off your purchase of holiday LED lights. Those new lights will use 80% less energy but burn even brighter. Those brighter lights mean brighter Christmas savings. So bring in those old lights, working or not, and get up to $5 off some new LED lights. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through November 14th, limit 5 per customer. See store for details.
Get in the zone!
Scary savings this weekend only at AutoZone. Now through Sunday, save on a 5-plus quart oil change jug of Mobil 1 synthetic motor oil and a Fram Extra Guard oil filter for just $27.99. That's right, just $27.99 for a Mobil 1 synthetic oil change deal. You save $11.99. Limit 2. See store for restrictions and details. Let us help you protect your engine with savings that will shock you. But hurry, the deal ends this Sunday. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Get in the zone.
AutoZone.
From the great Atlantic Ocean to the wide Pacific shore, from the Sooners to the Tigers to the Buffaloes next door, we'll fight them all with honor, stand tall above the rest. The Huskers of Nebraska are the ones that we love best. See that line of blockhead, watch those backs move out. Heading for the goal line and a touchdown, there's no doubt. Fast as a mighty jet plane, smooth as a brand new car. Every player with the big red is a football superstar.
That was a joke.
Can you feel it?
Day by day, we get better and better, and so we can't be beat. We won't be beat. I said now, day by day, we get better and better, and so we won't be beat. We can't be beat.
Empty backfield now. Cousins awaits the shotgun snap. He has it. Holds over the middle. Pass is intercepted. Lance Sorrell. 45, 40. Lance Sorrell to the outside. 30-yard line. Knocked out of bounds. Lance Sorrell.
Brett's kick sailing towards the uprights, and the kick is good. Maher drills one from 51 yards out.
This is a 29-yard field goal attempt to win the game for Nebraska. And what would be a miraculous comeback in the final 40 seconds. Brown for the win. The kick is up. And it's good. He got it. Nebraska wins it.
28-26 is our score. Kickoff into the end zone will be brought out by Abdullah. Abdullah, a little bit of shake and bake. With room to run. What kind of speed do you have, young guy? Down the right sideline. He's got a chance. Yes. Touchdown, Nebraska.
Third down and 20. Win. Good protection. Pass to the sidelines. Good. Out of bounds at the 25. Todd Brown made the catch, and Quinn hit him right on the numbers.
Fake the handoff. Back to throws. Martinez looking downfield. Has a man out there. Pass caught. Touchdown. Quincy and Unwa. And the Huskers back to it in a score.
Big down. Third to long five. Getting to the end zone, and very close to it was Dean Steinkoder. He's in for a touchdown.
Stretch play to Bell, trying to get to the outside. Compton hits him and drops him at the 10. What a play by Will Compton.
Backfield in the eye, wide outs both ways. And here is a fake. Druckenmiller on the keeper, loses the football. It's picked up by the Huskers, and they're going to run it in. Jason Peter for the score.
Snap back to Taylor. Fakes the handoff, looking to throw. Guns, pass, caught. Cotton, 15, 10. Bam to the 5. Dives for the end zone. He's down at the 1-yard line. Ben Cotton.
And the pitch to Warner. And Warner gets it up about the 29. Jimmy Williams comes up with a football, and Nebraska's got it. Jimmy Williams came out of the stack with a football.
Back to throw is Cousins, holding, looking, going downfield, looking for Cunningham. He goes up, ball knocked away at the last second. Stafford was there, so was Ciante Evans.
We are ready to settle the Big 12 football championship deep in the heart of Texas. Major Applewhite back in the pocket. Eludes one. Husker is in trouble, and down he goes. Warren Kaiser was there.
And the Court Huskers will go for two. They trail 17-15. Full house backfield. Frazier will throw. It's good. Two-point conversion. Eric Alford made the catch. Game tied at 17. Buckle.
picked up on the bounce by Keithen. And now down for Mitchell, double team, and Mitchell got it. How did he get that one?
Tater in the shotgun. Burkhead off to his right. Snap back to Tater. Holds it, looks, throws, pass, caught Kenny Bell. Dive, touchdown.
Sal Jones, Malone setback from the 47 of CU. Frazier takes the snap, gives it on a counter play. Jones runs behind a blocker, 45-40, 35-30, 25, 15, he's gone. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown.
How about the biggest comeback in school history?
Option far side, back to throw is Martinez. Now being chased, throws it out, a flat. Burkhead makes a catch, sits a tackle, 25-20, 15-10, 5, Rex Burkhead, touchdown Nebraska, and the Huskers are to within a point.
Holy moly, man, woman, and child did that, put him in the aisle.
Fourth down and 8, the ball at the 24-yard line of Miami, but they're down by 7.
Now Wildcat set. Burkhead awaits the snap. On 2nd and 10, Marlowe in motion. They give it off to Marlowe off the jet motion. On 35, Marlowe to the 30, 25-20, 15-10. Tim Marlowe knocked out of bounds inside the 5-yard line at the 1-yard line. Tim Marlowe takes the handoff for 39 yards.
Option play, the pitch to Irving Fryer around the right side. Irving Fryer could be gone. Irving Fryer, touchdown.
Kansas City couldn't capitalize.
Yeah, that's too bad. I don't have an answer for that. You know, when 2 years ago when they won 11 games, they did catch a lot of breaks that year. You know, sometimes in athletics, you know, when you're supposed to be 7-7 or 8-8 or whatever that record's supposed to be, and you catch a couple extra games and you go 11-5, it's hard to go back to 7-7 or 8-8. And have people be excited with your program, you know. So
yeah, breaks can go your way, not go your way. I mean, the Green Bay Packers should be one more win in the win column, and Seattle shouldn't. And how much different would that be the way we look at these teams right now? I mean, we think Green Bay has finally got their mojo going here again against weak competition, because we talked about this about 3 weeks ago, that their schedule set up to do these kind of things. And Seattle, everybody thinks how great they are. Well, you take that game away from their 500, sub-500 team.
Yeah, you know, and the other thing, you look at Chicago Bears, okay? I mean, are they the type of team you look at and think, hey, this team can make a roll and win the Super Bowl and put four great games together, you know? And that kind of reminds me of the Chiefs that 1 year when they went 11-5, so.
Well, we'll see what happens. That's the exciting part, because we're really just getting into the second half of the NFL season. We're into the final third of the college football season as far as regular season games go, getting into the second half of the NFL. Tampa Bay, San Diego goes to Tampa Bay next Sunday, and that's that early game. That's that West Coast to the East Coast, and I don't care if they have the extra time. My prediction right now, Tampa Bay 40, San Diego 10. That's my prediction right now. I don't even care how Tampa Bay does this week.
Could I take the 29.5 points now?
That's a good wager on you. We'll get some more of Jimmy's picks during our Pigskin Pick'em coming up later on in the program. Also, Loper basketball, they hung with Florida last night. And this is the way it always is when you're a big Division I program and you play somebody you're not supposed to be playing. I mean, Nebraska's playing Midland, for crying out loud, in their exhibition game. It's an NAIA school. We've seen Fort Hays State go in and play Kansas before, and Emporia play Kansas. You know, Billy Donovan, what's he going to say? They won by 30, and he's still obviously not happy, because UNK came to play, and his kids kind of went through the motions because that's what they could do, and they win by 30. This game was a 10-point game, though. Just before, 30 minutes in, 27 minutes in, they went on a 13-0 run about midway through the second half, which then started to pull them away in this game.
You know, one thing about Florida, you know, they were in Omaha last year. You know, they won that. You know what I mean? Yeah. They beat, I can't remember who they beat the first round, but it was somebody that was.
It was like Virginia.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was. And then they got to play the team that upset somebody. They had a big, upset in that beat Missouri. Yeah,
was
you
that Portland State?
Nah, it was somebody. We'll get it. But anyway, whoever beat Missouri, you know, last year they ended up being that. Well, they look pretty good. They, you know, they were one of the elite teams in the nation. I think they're ranked 10th in the nation, maybe. You know, right now, so they're like the 10th best team. But, you know, it's kind of interesting. You know, I know Coach Kropp was talking, and they were having practice. They were working out in practice one time, and he walks over and he just goes, "Hey, you know what? We're going to have to get a lot better, you know, this next week for these kids to compete," you know. But I think everybody knew what they were up against when they went down there, and just to compete what they want to do.
Yeah, Florida beat Virginia, and they beat Norfolk State.
Yeah, Norfolk State's who it was. Yeah, you couldn't find a T-shirt in Omaha there. You know, they didn't have any Norfolk State T-shirts.
Then Florida beat Marquette and ended up getting beat by Louisville 72-68, and Louisville went on to the Final Four.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, like I was saying, Florida last year, you know, put a good run in. So, that, you know, we're playing a really a tough team there. So that's kind of interesting and maybe something UNK can look at and be proud of.
Also, you know, this is something we didn't bring up at all on the show this week, but – and this is one side or the other. We talked about it jokingly on Monday and Tuesday, but we never talked about the World Series of Poker ending this week. And I know some people are into that. Some people casually watch it, and some people don't even care. It's like they don't care about that or bowling or table tennis or, you know, the other things that they use for filler time out there. I think the World Series of Poker hurt themselves by that final table that took 12 hours to play. ESPN, not ESPN 2 or 3 or the U or news. It was on the main channel, and it was on all night long. Three players all night long. They didn't even get to two until like 11 hours into this thing. Even that, for people that like to watch poker, and I'll sit down and watch it an hour at a time, 2 hours at a time. I got home from the ball game we did that night. I watched a little bit of it. I came to work the next morning at 6. I'm going, are they replaying it? No, this ain't a replay. Nobody can hang with it that long. It's too long. Longest table in longest table, final table in history. And I think that's going to hurt them. ESPN could not have been happy. They got to be talking to the guys that put on poker and go, what are you guys doing to me? We got SportsCenter in the morning. We got this to do. We got this to do. We got the Lakers to talk about. And this thing ain't over? I thought you guaranteed me this would be 4 or 5 hours at the most. We don't care if it gets over at 3 in the morning. But not at 9 in the morning Eastern time. So,
you know, the patience of that is what's amazing to me. You know, normally it's just the human element is saying, hey, you know what, I'm all in. You know, just put I'm all in. I'm you know, 4 hours later, I want to get out of here. So,
well, you know, that's the kind of the sad thing about it. I think that's what happened at the end. The hand, King 5, was nothing. And for some reason, the guy pushes all in. The other guy has a decent hand. But Queen Jack is something you wouldn't normally call something like that with. And I think he just finally said, all right, let's find out. And he didn't draw out to it, and that's how it ended. So you know, never see a good hand win the final hand of the major poker tournament.
You know, I'd like to have that little side thing when I'm playing poker where it says, you know, I got a 56% chance of winning right here with the hand I have. Because, you know, I'm not quick enough to figure that out. You know, now I am quick enough to figure out this, that you and I together – taking on one other person, we have the advantage.
Yeah.
We have the advantage. But winning 9 weeks in a row, I took the time to figure that out. It's 54-1. That's all it is. It's just 54-1. I thought it was more than that, but it's just 54-1. But if we win next week, you take it times 1.5 and would be 81 or whatever that is to 1. You know what I mean? So just wanted to let you know that each time it goes up, we just go up a half. The other guy, his odds of winning it, if he would have won 9 weeks in a row by himself is 19,000-1. So when ours was 54-1, so what we're really doing.
So the odds for us losing 9 weeks in a row was 19,000-1?
19,000-1. Yeah.
What is it, 3-1?
Maybe so.
Jim, the actuary, lagging with us here. See, you can do this poker figure, and all those pros, they know that. It's when they talk, it's pretty funny. They say, oh, yeah, it looks, you know, flop with nothing. Yeah, it looks like we're about 70-30. Yeah. And you look over the side, it's like 71-29. You go, what in the world is going on?
Yeah, there's an advantage to have an understanding of the numbers a little bit when you're playing some poker. I'm pretty sure that's true.
And there's always an advantage when you shop the fine folks at the Midway Auto Dealership. You don't have to worry about the percentages. It's 100% in your favor at Midway Auto Dealerships, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Don't forget to get signed up for the Husker Penn State tickets. They'll be giving those away on Tuesday as they move out the 2012s and bring in the 2013s. You can have a look at their Chrysler 200s starting at just over $20,000. The Chevy Silverados, they've got a ton of them on the lot, just a handful of 2012s remaining, and over 50 2013s on the lot right now with more on the way. Whether it's a Chevy Cruze, an Equinox, a 2012 Ram, they have them there for you. Don't forget, they're there for you all weekend and online at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. When we come back, we're going to hear from John Cook, Nebraska volleyball coach, after this.
Radio.
All right, Flo, so the key to safe pest removal is staying calm.
Okay.
Says here this lady's got a badger in her attic.
Oh, I love badgers. Oh, sorry. Calm. There he is! Come here, little buddy. I thought he wanted a hug.
Badgers don't really hug.
Not yet. Oh, badgers!
Insuring your business vehicles with Progressive is like having Flo on the road with you. Low down payments, great discounts, and flexible billing options. Now that's Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. United Financial Casualty Company and Affiliates.
Hi, football fans. I think you'll agree that you've got to have great seats. And now it's even easier to pick the seats you want wherever you are thanks to StubHub's new mobile seat maps. They're the only interactive seat maps that let you search for NFL tickets by section and actually see the view from your seat, all from your mobile phone. How cool is that? So whether you're searching StubHub on your computer or your phone, it's easy to find the seats you want. Yet another reason thousands of fans use StubHub for their NFL tickets every Sunday.
On Friday, November 2nd and Saturday, November 3rd, the Breeders' Cup World Championships return to Santa Anita.
Drosselmeyer out of the clouds! Drosselmeyer from nowhere! And Drosselmeyer and Mike Smith have beaten Chantel Sutherland on Game On, dude!
Hear Eclipse award-winning coverage of every championship race live on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Friday and Saturday afternoon on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Today we'll see clouds mix in with the sunshine, east winds at 5 to 15 as our highs approach 60 degrees. And then for tonight, skies will be partly cloudy, a light northwest breeze, lows in the low 30s. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro. Right now, it's 39.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, where all of our guests are taken care of by our friends at BK. Kearney, two locations, Lexington, Cozad, North Platte. They got some good stuff going on there, folks. How about the favorite burger for more than 30 years? You know it. You love it. It's the Whopper. Get yours today with some sweet potato fries. Perfect salty, sweet, savory addition to any sandwich. Maybe you want to change it up. How about a chicken sandwich or wrap? There's nothing better than what you can have at BK. Again, two locations in Kearney next to Walmart at 56th Street and 2nd Avenue and 8th Street and 3rd Avenue near Kearney Cinema. So check them out today. The Huskers pick up another oral commitment. Sean Callahan was talking about this at our Husker lunch on Wednesday. He thought Randy Gregory would be the next one to sign or to commit, and he did. He initially, and this is interesting because I think we talk about it, but he actually comes out and says it, you know. He was going to go to Purdue. He's a JUCO kid. He broke his leg in the first game this year, so he couldn't play, but it does give him 3 years of eligibility instead of two that the normal JUCO kid, they go play two, and then you get 2 years for him. But this defensive end is 6'6", 235-pounder out of Arizona Western Junior College, and he's coming to Nebraska. He decommits from Purdue because they're 3-5, and he doesn't know what Coach Hope's going to do. He's originally from Indiana. He goes, I'm a Purdue guy, but I don't want to get myself in a bad situation. He came to the Michigan game. He loves Nebraska, so the Huskers pick up DN Randy Gregory.
You know, a Nebraska recruiting, I would think, when they go out, the one thing they're always going to do is talk about how many times that stadium's been full. You know, that's got to come up in the conversation. I don't know if they're going to talk about how cold it gets sometimes in the state. but being from Indiana, he knows, yeah.
He'll be okay. Just keep him away from the basketball arena. Some of these guys went to the volleyball game as well a week ago with Penn State. I mean, they got to be going, what is wrong with you people? I mean, that was an incredible environment. We're going to talk with Coach Cook about it here in just a second. But just some of the things that they do and some of the places that they go. I mean, obviously you want to take them to where you can impress them. But sometimes, even in Lincoln, that's not hard to do. It's the fans and the community. even if they didn't know a recruit was coming, they'd walk in and go, this is impressive. This is impressive.
Yeah, that is something. You know, I don't think people realize that sometimes these other big programs in the nation in volleyball, there's less than 1,000 people at those contests. Yeah.
UNK draws more than most Division I schools.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it?
TigerBait.com. How about this one? Christian Lacouture, who went to Lincoln Southwest after transferring out of Texas. He was going to go to A&M, then said, I'm going to go to Nebraska, even move the family up here. Well, we all talked about his decommit this week. He thinks he can go play at LSU.
We're all shaking our heads wondering what's going on.
Maybe by his senior year. Hey, good luck. Good luck. But that's from TigerBait.com.
Is he going to play offense? Was he going to play some offense for LSU? Is that what his plans were?
Well, he wants to play D end in Nebraska. Thought he'd be a better D tackle. And I don't think he won. He's played some offense in high school. They even let him carry the ball a few times, but that's in mop-up duty.
If he wants to play some defense, he needs to go to Marshall.
How's that coming along? Is that streak still going?
Still going.
Still going. What's it up to? Repeat that again for the folks that didn't catch it a couple of weeks ago.
The main thing was I would just say play Marshall over, no matter who they play, you know, because Marshall can move the ball, but they've actually got 11 folding chairs out there. We think on defense, they're not on TV very much.
Nebraska volleyball looking good, setting 1-1 on the weekend and still in the race for a Big Ten championship again. And we are pleased to welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show the head coach of the Husker volleyball team, John Cook. It's been a little too long, Coach. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for the time.
Well, you're welcome. How are things out in the Doug and Daddy area?
Well, it's busy. It's busy, and I want to start off by talking a little football with you because we got a chance to watch your son play earlier this year.
Oh, really?
And although Pius maybe didn't have a 9-0 season against Kearney, pretty impressed. What did you think of his season?
Well, he had a lot of fun, and, you know, Pius moved up to Class A, and I think it was a big deal for them to make the playoffs. I got to see three games live, and I got to see some on videotape. But I think he did a nice job. He played a lot of snaps and did a lot of things for them, from tight end to long snapping to defensive end. And the playoff game, they had their center got hurt, so they moved him to center. He never played center before, so he got to experience it all. And but they got better as the year went on, so it was fun.
What's his future going to look like?
I don't know. There's a chance he may, you know, walk on at Nebraska and be a long snapper, or he's a big golfer too. So we'll see. He might want to try to do that at a smaller school in college. So we'll just have to see how this year goes.
Does Taylor ever get jealous that you're spending more time with your daughter than your son?
No. No. He probably likes it because then I'm not riding him about something.
John Cook.
Cleaning up his room.
John Cook, head volleyball coach of the Huskers, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Speaking of Lauren, you have to be so concentrated on what's going on the court. Have you got a moment to realize that things are starting to wind down with that part of your life and her career?
No. No, you're just thinking about get the next hour here and what can we do to get better. And, you know, we got two huge matches this weekend. I mean, it's just, you're just in grind mode right now. So no, I never even think of that at all.
Michigan State coming up this weekend on the road. You've talked time and time again about how tough it is to play on the road. And as you go to these places for the second time around now, you're learning some new things. What are we to expect from your ball club? And give us a little scouting report on Michigan State.
Well, both those teams, I mean, last week Michigan had Penn State at home and lost in five. So that just shows you where they're at. And Michigan State is a physical team and very difficult to play. We barely won there 16-14 in the fifth there last year, and we got to play there after the football game. And I know they're trying to get as big a crowd there as possible. If you get a football ticket, you get in free. So we're expecting a big crowd there, but hopefully we'll have a lot of Nebraska fans there as well because, you know, our football team plays there as well. So it's both these teams are good. Everybody in the Big Ten is good, and you've got to come and play, you know, a really good match and be prepared to have a really good effort. And, but we're going to have to do this back-to-back and travel in between and deal with the football game logistics, trying to get into East Lansing. So it's a challenge in a lot of different ways, and you just hope to find a way to get a W.
Coach John Cook, the Husker Volleyball Program, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. What have we learned about the Big Ten Conference comparing to what Nebraska fans are used to seeing at the Coliseum?
Well, every night it's a great team that competes, and the level of play is really good. And it doesn't matter whether you're playing the number one team or the number 10 team in the conference. I mean, it's a battle every night. And you know, we found that out at Indiana, and we just got beat by Ohio State Friday in here. And Ohio State's a very good team. So it's great for our fans. A lot of our fans are having trouble with all the tight matches. They're used to, you know, more 3-0 sweeps. But Coach Osborne likes it because we sell more popcorn and malt cups, so the longer we go.
Nothing wrong with a good malt cup at the Coliseum. Tell me what you're thinking after you lose to Ohio State, then you get the big match with Penn State. Obviously, they get the first set easily, and they've got a big lead in the second set. It's 18-10. What's going through your mind at that time?
Well, we just, you know, I have to do what I ask my players to do, is we stay point-by-point mentality, and you keep battling. That's something we've learned being in the Big Ten. I mean, you just have to go point by point and try to win three games 2 points better, and we won two of the games 2 points better, and we happened to win the third game by 5 points. So that's how tight everything is. So you just stay in there, you hang in there, you go point by point mentality, and hope for the best. And that's the mindset you have to have every match.
Megan Haggerty keeps picking up Big Ten Freshman of the Week honors. She started on the opening match for you. How have you seen her development? Are you getting what you thought you'd get from putting a freshman into this national power program?
I didn't have much, you know, expectations for Megan, because you just never know with freshmen. But she's had a couple freshman matches as well. But it seems especially against the number one team, she plays really well. But what teams are doing is they're trying to take out Gina and Hannah with two blockers and letting Megan go one-on-one. And Lauren does a great job of getting their ball, and Megan's making them pay. And so it creates some matchup problems if she can be really good. And that's teams are daring her to beat them, and she's doing a nice job of that. So that's really, it's great to see that a freshman will come in and do that and take on that responsibility.
John Cook with us for just another couple moments here on the Doug and Daddy Show, talking some Nebraska volleyball before they hit the road for this weekend's matches with Michigan and Michigan State. Gina Mancuso's stat line seems to be there every single night, but she's getting it done off the court. She receives the Senior Class Award, one of the prestigious awards. How important is that when you go out and recruit, that you can have a gal like that that does it on and off the court? And I know she's not the only one.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We have a whole team of that are doing all that stuff. And you know, Gina's a senior. She's been in our the SAC committee, which is the student athletes that meet with Coach Osborne and the administrators and plan a lot of the things that the student athletes do. But our whole team's involved in this, and so she's just really a reflection of what our team has been doing in the community, what we do grade-wise, community service-wise, and then these guys also play volleyball. So they're very, very, very giving kids, and it's great to see. And we had Sydney Anderson received this award, or was in the finals 2 years ago as well. So I think it's just a great reflection on our program and what Nebraska's all about. And again, this could be our team, any team here, you know, is very, very deserving of that recognition, because these kids do give a lot back.
A lot of talk about the Coliseum, and this is it, and winding down, four regular season games left there, and then hopefully a couple in regionals. You had an epic match, of course, on Sunday with Penn State that I guess just solidifies what playing in the Coliseum is all about. As you get down to the end here, your thoughts about moving out of one building and into a cool building that may not have the same atmosphere?
Yeah, you know, when we have matches like we did Sunday, you know, it makes you think, man, are we doing the right thing? But I think it's time. I think with, people want to see us, and they can't get in, and high school kids can't get in, and we don't have a good enough student section because we don't have enough room because we're sold out. So I think it's time, but the Coliseum is a magical place, and we're going to do everything possible to recreate that Coliseum over there in Devaney. And I think people will be pleased with how it comes out, and we just got to fill it to create that same environment over there. But we're going to do everything possible to it's still going to be the Coliseum. It's just going to be in a different location, and that's how we're looking at it.
John Cook, Nebraska volleyball coach. We're just a week away from signing day. How do you feel about your class coming up?
I think if once we get it all signed up, it's got to be considered the number one class in the country, and it's got depth. It's got Nebraska kids, so we're really excited about it. And, you know, we're replacing a great senior class, so the timing is really good. But we're excited about, the future of the program. And that's why, you know, I think it's fitting that it's such a large class coming in, and there's going to be a lot of Nebraska kids in it, that they're going to start the new legacy at the Devaney.
And finally, what was given out at the Cook household for Halloween?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't even know. I don't even get home till 10 o'clock last night. So I don't even know what's in store. But yeah, I don't go to the door. That's not my deal.
Hopefully, there's some leftovers for the folks in the house. Coach, we always appreciate your time on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll let you get back to work. Good luck this weekend.
Okay, thanks. Great talking with you guys.
Thanks, Coach. Coach John Cook, as they head out to Michigan today and Michigan State tonight. Nebraska volleyball ranked fourth in the country, and always a pleasure to catch up with Coach Cook. They'll be out there at Michigan State as well, so hopefully some of the fans can catch both on Saturday that are going out to East Lansing. And football, obviously, at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon. Doug Duda along with Jim Langan here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's talk a little football. Jimmy, your initial thoughts. We're going to make our prediction a little bit later on. What are you buying into here? What are you thinking about this football game tomorrow?
Well, the thing that interests me is just how's Nebraska, if we're going to be, the negative is the game is on the road. You know, that's the negative. Michigan State had a huge win last week, winning in overtime. You know, so how are they going to react to that? You know, if Michigan State has had some tough losses, you know, they outplayed Iowa real bad during the season and ended up losing that game. And, it'll just be an interesting. You know, one thing about Michigan State is that Michigan State against Nebraska has not had a tremendous amount of success. And this is a game they're going to be looking at a lot more than we were after they got beat 24-3. I just think, you know, it's interesting. I mean, the spread's 1.5. It moved. It moved from Nebraska being favored by 1.5 to Michigan State being favored by 1.5. And then it flipped back again. So that thing is gone. Amazingly, it's gone like four different times because people have different opinions of it during the week. And I just interesting about how I just don't think Michigan State's going to score very much. I'm just afraid that they might get down to not letting us getting in there. So, you know, it's probably going to come down to a lot of field goals.
Well, and they've been pretty good at that. And the only guy that knows how this game's going to come out tomorrow is Jason Strayhorn, sideline reporter for the Spartan Radio Network. He joined us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jason, appreciate the time here on ESPN Radio. How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing, guys?
Well, we're doing great. Obviously, you know how this game's going to come down tomorrow. Why can't Michigan State score?
Well, that's a good question. I think that there's a couple things that's happening right now with the interchangeable, the musical chairs are playing on the offensive line. It's one big issue there with three injuries, major injuries that are causing some guys who didn't have much playing time in the past to have to step up and have to start. Also, you've got a young quarterback here, and Andrew Maxwell, as talented as he is physically, he has to just learn to kind of cut it loose, as Coach D'Antonio will say, when he's making his decision, not the second guess of decision, because that's not going to bode well for the young receiving core that we have, who had some early drops, as you know. It's been well documented how bad the drops were with the receiving core, but, you know, them not being able to catch the ball coming out of their breaks is not helping move the chains so we can get down the field and score. So it's kind of stalling, and it's been not so much the great defense that Michigan State's been playing. It's been a lot of stalling out and just shooting themselves in the foot by not executing properly on those fronts.
You know, I think that's a good point. One thing I've noticed about Michigan State, and I also feel this way about LSU, is that they do not turn the ball over, and they don't take maybe some chances that they normally would. Well, they're just going to go ahead and move it. Hey, you know what? We didn't get one this time. We'll punt it. Maybe we'll get a 50-yard punt and play field position a little bit more than some of the other teams in the nation are doing where they're trying to outscore you. Do you think that's true?
Absolutely. When you have a defense that's playing the way that our defense has been playing, and this is going back to last year outside of a couple of games, you know, our Notre Dame game last year and the game against North Nebraska, the defense has really played well. And even coming into Madison where they had the 21-game win streak, they played outstanding given all the close games that they've been in and lost in the last minutes. They still came to play. And when you have a defense that that's not giving up more than 16, 17 points on a good day, you definitely can play that field position game and hope for that offense to start clicking.
We're talking with Jason Strayhorn, former Michigan State Spartan and now part of the Michigan State Radio Network, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. The other part of this offense is we know you've had great running backs over the last few years, and Le'Veon Bell steps up. A lot has been made of his workload. He's averaging 31 carries per football game, and for as many times as he's carried it, he's barely over 1,000 yards. So not only are they working him hard, he's getting beat up. What's his status right now?
Le'Veon, he was nicked up a little in the last, I would say, 3-4 weeks. From little things that happen to football players, nothing serious. But one thing about Le'Veon, as talented as he is, the coaching staff and I, we've been seeing it. You can see it on the sideline. He needs to hit the hole a little harder, to get some of those big runs. He's a very patient runner, but his patience sometimes can be a negative because those holes open and close very quick out there when you're playing against some of these big time defenses. And you have a young offensive line like he has, an inexperienced offensive line. So he's a guy like him. I mean, from my experience playing, when you weigh 240-plus pounds and you just go like a bat out of hell, so to speak, at the defense, they tend to find a way to get out of the way. And he needs to understand that and go ahead and deliver the blows like we know he can and stop being so patient, I think, and those runs and that yards per carry will go up.
We're talking with Jason Strayhorn here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And, Jimmy, to my recollection, I don't remember tight ends. I thought Ohio State would use their, and in the way it turned out, they didn't have to. And to my recollection, I don't really remember any tight ends being a problem in the passing game as far as Nebraska opponents. But I think Michigan State might have a couple guys that can do something. What do you think about that, Jason? I know that Deion has been a little nicked, too. What's the status?
Deion is getting healthier. They said that he's about 80% last week. He's running well without contact, but when he's holding his point of attack on the blocks, he's having some trouble, and his ankle is kind of getting weaker. I've dealt with those ankle sprains before, and that's a tricky thing. You know, everybody heals at a different speed, and Deion's a guy that you really need for that short and mid-range passing game. He's a very talented receiver. The best hands on the team. So getting him back up closer to 100% is key, a very key safety valve for Andrew Maxwell when he's not looking at those long down-the-field strikes to have somebody to come down on the seam or out or a curl in the mid-range passing game. So we look to see if he's healthy this week. I mean, that'd be a great positive for Michigan State.
Michigan State's defense, as expected, leading the conference in a variety of categories. And I suppose if you throw out the SEC, they'd be leading the nation in a variety of categories. I remember being at Media Days this summer, and I was so impressed with Max Bullock. And that was before I even got to talk to the young man, and he is delivering.
Oh, for sure. Max Bullock, I mean, he's got the pedigree with his grandfather and his father and uncle playing at Michigan State, his grandfather coaching Donnie Unitas. I mean, going back to those days in the NFL, and he's just got such a high football IQ, probably one of the highest football IQs I've seen from a defensive player in a long time, anywhere, not just in Michigan State. The kid just has a nose for the ball, understands where people have to be, is like a second defensive coordinator on the field, getting guys lined up and communicating, and that's what is the glue of that defense and getting everybody playing as one heartbeat. So, you can't say enough. I mean, he had a huge game last week. He was well over 10 tackles and 2 sacks, and he was laying the wood pretty well, too. For a guy who says, oh, man, he's beat up, but what football player in America isn't beat up a little bit right now? He sure didn't look like it last week.
Former center for Michigan State, now with the Spartan Radio Network, Jason Strayhorn with us for another couple minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jason, as far as a big old boy, because neither one of us are big old boy football players, lineman type, how can it affect Golston that you knock, I know it's part of the game, but he knocks Stavi out for Wisconsin and he's done for the year. Can that affect even a big old tough mean guy like Golston when he plays this week?
Like affect him in the negative way where he's feeling bad about it? Is that
yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. I just think, I don't think when they get on the field you think, but does that bother a guy like him, or could you tell?
You know, if you to know well to know, he's a very nice guy off the field, very calm demeanor, and almost like a, you know, almost like a 12-year-old when you talk to him, how playful he is. The way that injury happened, it just didn't seem it wasn't one of those vicious hits. It wasn't like he really pile-drived him into the turf. It was just one of those freak things. He caught him at a good angle when he went down, and things happen. This game is a terrible game when things like that happen. But, I mean, it's part of it, and we all know that's part of the deal going out there. I do not think that will affect his play. You know, he loves the sacks. So the more sacks he gets, the more motivated he gets. So I think that's the one thing that will flip it to the positive side.
You know, Nebraska this year's had one game. They had the Northwestern game where it actually got down to, like, the last field goal, you know, make or miss. And, you know, the last 5 games that you guys have played, you know, you played Ohio State, lost 17-16. You know, Indiana was 31-27. Iowa, of course, was the 19-16 loss. You lose 12-10 to Michigan on that last second field goal, and then you win in overtime. I mean, your last 5 games, and all of them have been close throughout. I mean, the entire game, they've all been close. And Nebraska hasn't been used to that. Do you think it's going to get down to the field goal kicking?
It very well could be. I don't see this as being a high-scoring affair. As long as Michigan State shows up to play like they've been showing up, you know, that's the only way I see it being a huge, lopsided game is if somebody just gives up. And I don't see either one of these programs giving up. I know the Nebraska Cornhusker Nation, they're going to be bringing out a lot of fans, according to the hotels around here. Everything's booked up, and a lot of tickets out here being sold. And you guys, well, I remember last time you invaded our stadium in 95 during those national championship runs. It was a lot of red in our Spartan Stadium. So, yeah, I think this will come down to a field goal here or there. And you guys have a great kicker. And we need to just, you know, be able to finish the plays. It's something that we've been involved in the last, like you said, 5 weeks or so. We've lost 3 games by a total of 6 points, which is just heartbreaking. But we're battle-tested in that environment. I think last week, it's similar to that. If we can hang around and be there, you know, history has shown that, you know, since we've been here before, we have the edge in a close game. So from the Nebraska side, I guess probably want to try to break it out and get it open to a big lead quick if you want to be successful there. But in my opinion, close is good.
Jason, finally, from an X and O standpoint, what is most concerning about Nebraska to Michigan State? What are they most concerned about with the Huskers?
I'd say the running game, the offensive running game. You know, Burkhead, is he healthy? Is he going to be playing?
I don't think so.
He doesn't look like he's going to be playing with the number 2 guy, Abdullah?
Yeah.
Is his name? Yeah, I mean, every time I see him get the ball, he's like running 8 yards a carry minimum. I mean, that guy is a spark plug in the backfield. I'd be very concerned. Hey, we have not faced a running back like that. His size and strength and speed, because he's kind of hard to see, but when he's by you, he's gone, you know, and he's not easy to bring down. Then you have Taylor Martinez. Can't say enough about him. He can beat you with his legs. He's gotten a lot better in the passing game. So that's something that, you know, we have to keep under wraps, is that offensive attack. And obviously whoever scores most, you know, wins the game. So we try to keep that scoring down to a minimum, hope that our offense can get rolling.
We always like to leave our when we go on the road, Jason, we always like to find out from the locals, if the Husker fans are flying in today, what do they need to be doing tonight in East Lansing?
What do they need to be doing tonight in East Lansing? Well, they need to go out and hang out in several, I'll say, watering holes, like Rick's American Cafe, Harper's, BW3's is a big one, downtown East Lansing. That's always a fan favorite there, and you'll see some good times. People that are our friends, our fans are almost as friendly as the Nebraska fans, because I'll tell you what, that is probably the friendliest fan base in the country there in Nebraska. So it's a delight to have everybody here, and I hope that they have a great time. But don't leave too happy tomorrow night.
Well, we'll see how she plays out. Jason, it's a pleasure having you on the Doug and Danny Show. Have a good game tomorrow.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Good talking to you.
Thanks, Jason. Jason Strayhorn, former Spartan, played for Nick Saban while he was at Michigan State, and then went on to all Big Ten honors, and now in his seventh year with the radio network. Predictions are coming up on Nebraska, Michigan State. I may have one that surprises you a little bit. I don't know. It's going to be different than what I've predicted most of the year. Been wrong once. Did not see the UCLA thing coming. But as far as close and games and getting beat and stuff like that, been pretty much on. So we've got that coming up here on a Pigskin Pick'em. You got your score ready?
Well, I kind of got a score ready, but I'll tell you one thing. You know, last week you went 8-2, I think. 8-2, and you picked some big upsets. Hey, nationally, I'm just talking about a national contest, you'd have been right up there, you know, and I just want to make sure that we didn't talk about how I did on the show, because nationally, I would have been way down there and would not have been competing. It's
a team. We're a team.
I agree. We're a team. I have to say that a lot of times.
We're a team. And, folks, team up for great food at Troutman's. Fresh garlic brats and garlic sausage are ready for you this weekend. Don't forget to grab some bacon. It's perfect for wrapping on everything, especially your kebabs, or just frying up for a little Saturday or Sunday morning breakfast. If you're going to get up and have breakfast, don't mess it up. Have the great bacon from Troutman's, who also has the barbecue beans, beer, and wine, all the accessories that go with the great meal you have. And don't forget that Thanksgiving right around the corner. Can you believe it? We're 3 weeks away from Thanksgiving. So call now to reserve your fresh smoked turkey, ham, and prime rib for your Thanksgiving meal. Call 236-7510 to reserve today. 236-7510 and reserve your fresh smoked turkeys, hams, prime rib for your Thanksgiving meal at Troutman's Quality Meats, a grill's best friend. Coming up, we have got Pigskin Pick'em. We've got a lot more. We've got some emails to get to. We'll be right back.
Thank you for calling Discover Card.
Listen, your 5% cash back program is to die for. What's the new category?
You will love it. Right now, you can get 5% cash back everywhere you shop online through December, only from Discover.
Shut the door. 5% cash back? I shop online all the time.
No joke. Everywhere online.
Best category ever.
Only Discover gives you 5% cash back everywhere you shop online through December. Sign up for 5% at discover.com or call 1-800-DISCOVER. 5% cash back on up to $1,500 in purchases online and at department stores.
Don't miss the action on AuctionTime.com, where every Wednesday is auction day. AuctionTime.com features farm and construction equipment, trucks, trailers, and parts auctions ending every Wednesday. To bid on a machine, register for free on the AuctionTime.com website or from anywhere using an iPhone or an Android with the free AuctionTime.com apps. AuctionTime charges no buyer's fees and has no hidden reserves. Save time and money for your operation and visit AuctionTime.com.
When it comes to Husker game day, my buddies and I head down to Cunningham's Journal, the best place to watch all your favorite sports. Have a great bite to eat, drink the coldest draft beer in town, and most importantly, watch the Husker game on the huge 10-foot projector screen. This year, every time you come for the game, you can register to win a 70-inch HD TV from Russell's Appliance and the Coors Light Super Bowl party from Cunningham's. If you win, could I come? Anyways, escape ordinary and head to Cunningham's Journal on game day, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen.
and we'll tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Today we'll see clouds mix in with the sunshine, east winds at 5 to 15 as our highs approach 60 degrees. And then for tonight, skies will be partly cloudy, a light northwest breeze, lows in the low 30s. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro. Right now, it's 39.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Tom and Carney says, you seem skeptical that a Nebraska recruit can make it at LSU. Is that a confirmation that the Big Red is a long way away from being an elite program? It's an interesting point that Tom brings up. Christian Lacouture, can a kid, I think the kid plays quicker at Nebraska than LSU. I think that's what that comes down to. That would be my feeling. As I said, maybe Lacouture, if he goes to LSU, can work his way into a position his late junior year, senior year. But heck, at this point anymore, you used to have to wait that long to get in. Now they want you right away and so that you can be three-year starters. I don't know. That's an interesting point. I'm not even sure how to answer that one. There's still some gap in there, but it seems like that always hits when you don't know when the switch is going to come. Like I said, 8-10 years ago, Alabama was in a down cycle. So you got to get those kids somewhere. Some things I'm hearing, it wasn't like he stood out at Southwest. And if you don't stand out at Southwest, you know, how big of a prospect can you be? And then you want to go to one of the top five programs in the country? That just seems a little weird. You can go. That's fine. Follow your dream. Chase your dream. Get it done. No problem. But I can understand Tom's point as well. We'll see.
I'm not going to comment on that. I have a couple things I thought, but I don't know the kid well enough. If I knew the player well enough, I will say this, that if you were going to play basketball, college basketball, let's say you were playing college basketball, and you were said, hey, well, I'm thinking about playing at Nebraska, but maybe I'm just going to go to Kentucky instead. You know, we would have that comment. So I understand what he's saying, but I think maybe right now on the defensive side of the ball, we were talking on the defensive side of the ball where we think Nebraska needs help. And at LSU, I would think it would be tougher to crack their defensive side of the ball. I wouldn't be afraid of playing LSU this year. And especially in Lincoln.
That bold statement from Jimmy Langan. Doug Duda, Jimmy Langan here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coming up next week, I don't want to jinx any of our great guests, but we've got a couple of them coming up next week on the program. We'll have Monday's recap, as always, Bo Pelini's press conference, and state volleyball is next week, so we'll be busy doing that. We've got district volleyball going on tonight. Kearney Catholic and Ord live on Classic Hits 98.9 at 7 o'clock. Grand Island Central Catholic will be taking on Fillmore Central tonight in Aurora. Hastings St. Cecilia will play Wood River at Grand Island Senior High. Now, the state brackets, even though B and A and D are all done, there's still some games out there that can impact wild card points, so they're not official till tomorrow morning. But the district winners in B last night were Grand Island Northwest, York, Sydney, Waverly, Elkhorn South, and Gretna. In D1, Exeter Milligan, Silver Lake, Howells Dodge, O'Neill St. Mary's, Alma, and Sutherland. And in D2, Giltner, Humphrey, Cedar Valley, Stewart, Brady, and Mullen is headed to state after handing Layton their first loss. And unfortunately, Bertrand is one of those teams that was probably good enough to be there, but their wild card points, a couple of, Giltner beat Meade, and Meade is still number one in the wild card. And Layton, because they were undefeated, I think they're sitting fourth in the wild card, so they're both going to get those wild cards. And a good season for Bertrand, among others, they're done. And Minden, one of the teams that is crossing their fingers tonight, the big match that they're watching, they need Shadron to beat Ogallala to get in because one of the wild card spots has already been taken up. And Minden's good enough, they need to be there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I'll tell you, there is no doubt about it. Right now, Kearney Catholic has one of the best volleyball teams in the state, you know, bar none. Yeah. And, I mean, no matter who had to play them two or three times. And you know what I mean? It was going to be tough to beat them one time. So, you know, that's tough when you compete, and that happens in those areas. And I think Bertrand went 25-5. You know, you're right, and that very tough schedule.
Well, here's the kicker. One of the reasons the wild card doesn't work. If Ogallala beats Shadron tonight, now they get in as the district champion. But Minden has beaten Ogallala numerous times, and they just aren't in that West District. So Ogallala would go, and heck, Ogallala's right behind him. I don't know how they're right behind him in the wild card. Five losses for Minden, two of them are to Kearney Catholic, and Ogallala's got 10 losses, and they're like sixth in the wild card points or seventh, something like that. So weird how some of that stuff works out. UNK is home against Northwest Missouri State tomorrow in volleyball. The Huskers are at Michigan and Michigan State. And Hastings has a chance to do something that is very rare, no matter what level of competition, and that's go undefeated in conference play. They had a four-set win over Concordia last night. They host Dakota Wesleyan tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Both the soccer teams are into the semifinals for Hastings College as well. Hastings basketball season begins tonight for real. Missouri Valley for the men on the road, and for the women, they play a pair of games in Seward, including William Penn tonight, and you'll hear that on 1230 KHAS. The wrestling squads are headed out to Laramie for the Wyoming Cowboy Open. It's going to be beautiful out there. I'm sorry. I've been out to Laramie just last year for the game, and it won me over. I don't know that I'd want to live there, but it was a cool place to visit. And so all the Hastings, UNK, some Huskers are all going out there.
You know, this is the time of year for me when I'm officiating. You know, last week I umpired a baseball game, did a football game the same day, and I got my first college basketball game tomorrow. And I'm not going to tell you where that college basketball game's at, because I'd like to pretend it was Duke, North Carolina. But it's actually a Platt College, and the last time I was there, there was about 83 people there.
Well, that's so you could hear everything they were saying.
Well, you could. Most of them we just had conversations with during dead balls anyway, so we were fine.
Tri-City Storm on the road at Cedar Rapids tonight, Sioux City tomorrow, and you can hear their games on The Breeze, 94.5 FM, just like the Huskers tomorrow. Which team would most deserve to play in the BCS title game against an undefeated SEC team? So, right now, who should play in the BCS title game? Undefeated Kansas State, undefeated Oregon, undefeated Notre Dame, or a one-loss SEC team? That's our poll question. Here's what I'll say about the one-loss SEC team. If they've already played Alabama or LSU or whoever gets in there, then no. No way, no consideration. I mean, if it happened to, for some freak reason, be somebody that you didn't see in conference, then I'd consider you. But Jimmy, right now, who do you think? K-State, Oregon, Notre Dame. I know who I think would give, say, Alabama. I'm going to say Alabama. I know who I think would give them the best game. I know who I think would be the most intriguing matchup and what would be the most popular matchup. And I think that three different teams for all those scenarios.
Well, you know, I think it's unfair to penalize Kansas State and Notre Dame because they have actually beat good people and beat them, you know, on the road. You know, when you both go into Oklahoma and win, and, you know, Oklahoma is an 11.5-point favorite at Iowa State. Earlier in the year, Kansas State was only a 7.5-point favorite at Iowa State. So they think Oklahoma can play. And there's days, if you watch them on TV, Oklahoma can play. You know, but, you know, I think it's unfair to any one-loss team this year to take them. The way these people are playing, the way Kansas State is beating people, the way Notre Dame has gone on and beat, now they haven't annihilated some people. They've had a couple close games, but they have beat Stanford. You know, they beat a BYU team who's not that bad.
Yeah.
You know, and they beat. So I think this year you cannot take a one-loss team over anybody that's undefeated, including Alabama if they would get beat.
And Jimmy, I'll throw this out. People at the beginning of the season say these polls, these preseason polls don't mean anything. And I say, yes, they do. Because look at it right now. Look at it right now. The only reason Oregon is ranked ahead of these teams in the polls is because they have been steady the last handful of years. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with this year. K-State and Notre Dame started way down in the polls. They've been climbing the ladder. But they're never going to pass Oregon unless Oregon gets beat in the polls. Not necessarily the BCS, because we see that they have passed Oregon in the BCS. But in the polls, which are a big part of the formula to pick those BCS championship teams, it does make a difference.
I'm not going to disagree with you, but I will say this about Oregon. Oregon, if you took what they've done in the first half against people, they can't even continue to play the second half. I mean, when you look at Bertrand, they scored 84 points, and the reason they did is because they needed 84 points to beat a Kennesaw. They just scored 84 points on a lot of teams on their schedule this year.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, Oregon has been had some sportsmanship issues, which I really admire what they did. I think you got to take sportsmanship first, BCS second.
Well, we'll see how it all plays out. And I thought, you know, for those folks that thought Notre Dame might have a trap game this week, about a 17-point favorite, well, Pittsburgh's leading running back, wide receiver, and a defensive tackle have all been charged with simple assault and conspiracy in connection with an incident last month involving three other students, one of whom reported he was hit in the head during a brief confrontation on the street. They have not been suspended as of yet. That is still up for debate, so keep an eye on that with Pittsburgh. But this sounds like a juvenile college thing, and somebody sounds like the nerd is crying. And that comes from one that, you know, would know. So, you know, it sounds like the nerd is crying right there, so shut up. It happened a month ago. Our poll question is that, by the way, which undefeated SEC team, which team should play an undefeated SEC team in the bowl BCS championship? Go to ESPNSuperstation.com. Our question yesterday, which high school upset was the most surprising this week? It was a close race, but 33% said Donovan Trumbull's win over Crofton, followed by Loup City's, Elm Creek, and Bertrand's win. We need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, because we culminate the week with Pigskin Pick'em. We are putting our brains together to select this week's college football games against one of you, the listeners. If you get in and get the trivia question right, you will get a large combo meal to Big Daddy's Deli, two locations in Hastings, one in Kearney, home of a bazillion sandwiches. You'll already get that. You'll get registered for the 70-inch HD TV and the Super Bowl party that we give away at the end of the year from Cunningham's and Russell's Appliance. But if you can be the first person since week one, only the second one of the entire year to win, then $180 in gift cards to Cunningham's Journal to use however you want. Here is the trivia question, 888-455-3776. Remember, you only get one shot, so if you've already went up against us, you are ineligible because you've already had your shot. 888-455-3776. Michigan State head coach is Mark D'Antonio. He's had 33 years of collegiate coaching experience, 9 years as a head coach, most recently, obviously, at Michigan State. Where did he coach before that? Where did Mark D'Antonio go 18-17 in three seasons before coming to Michigan State? Took this team to a pair of bowl games. 888-455-3776. Where was Mark D'Antonio the head coach before coming to Michigan State? Call now.
Hi, it's The Herd. Do you have the legal protection you need? Think about it. Maybe you'd like to incorporate a business you're starting. You know you have to protect your personal assets, but should you form an LLC? Maybe an S-Corp or a C-Corp would be better. And what about your family? You got to protect their future, but do you know if a will or a living trust is right for you? Well, maybe you just need an attorney to guide you along. So where do you turn for legal protection and to find an attorney you can trust? LegalZoom.com, that's where. With an A rating from the Better Business Bureau, LegalZoom has been helping families and businesses get personalized and affordable legal protection for the past 12 years. In most states, through their legal plan, an attorney can answer questions about your documents. Go to LegalZoom.com today to make sure your family and businesses are legally protected. Couldn't be any easier. LegalZoom's not a law firm. You get self-help services at your specific direction or speak with a legal plan attorney to personalize your documents and get ongoing advice. For more savings, enter Colin in the referral box at checkout. LegalZoom.com.
College football on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com. It's a showdown in the SEC.
It's up, long enough, he's got it!
Coming off their first defeat of the season and falling to number 7, the Florida Gators look to prove why they're the best of the one-loss teams.
Blitz up the middle, sack, and the ball came loose!
The Missouri Tigers at the 7th-ranked Florida Gators.
All the action begins at 11 Saturday morning on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Today we'll see clouds mix in with the sunshine, east winds at 5 to 15 as our highs approach 60 degrees. And then for tonight, skies will be partly cloudy, a light northwest breeze, lows in the low 30s. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro. Right now, it's 39.
Doug and Daddy Show on Friday's wrap things up with Pigskin Pick'em. Greg from Wood River has correctly answered this week's trivia question. Where did Mark D'Antonio head coach? Where did he coach? Where he was the head coach right before he came to Michigan State? The answer is Cincinnati, going 18-17, taking them to two bowl games. That gets the Big Dally's Deli combo meal to Greg, and he's in for the 70-inch HDTV from Russell's and the Super Bowl party from Cunningham's at the end of the year. But now, $180 on the line. I mean, this isn't Mike and Mike in the Morning, where they, even their national contest, they barely give away this kind of stuff. So I'm feeling pretty good. Greg, how are you feeling today? Congratulations on getting this far.
I'm doing good. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's pick some football. You ready, Jimmy?
Well, I want to know a little bit more about Greg. Hey, what year did you graduate, Greg?
1985.
Okay, that'll help me out. Then I know what I'm dealing with now.
All right. let's get out.
I believe you were coaching basketball at Ravana when I was in high school.
I think I was. And in 85, I'm trying to think that it didn't go our way, did it?
No, not by a long shot.
Okay, thanks. thanks for bringing that up.
You started. Jimmy started. Greg, our first game, we're going to start with a trio out in the Pac-12. Arizona State at Oregon State. Oregon State coming off their first loss of the year. And, Greg, who you got?
I'm going to go with Oregon State.
Jimmy?
I'm going to take Oregon State.
I hate doing these sweeps, but yeah, I guess so. And Oregon State's just a minimal favorite in this game at home, so a little surprised at that. That always throws out the red light when you go, why is that the way it is? So I'm going to take Oregon State. I'm leading this contest. I'm sure I'm right. Arizona at UCLA. UCLA, Jimmy, getting back into the top 25, just like the Huskers this week. Arizona, after that beatdown they took from Oregon, just has been unheard from, and they kind of keep coming back. Who you got?
I'm going to take Arizona in this game.
I'm going to take UCLA. Who do you got, Greg?
I'm going with Arizona.
Washington at Cal. Washington coming off the big win last week against Oregon State. Cal just a couple of weeks removed from Stanford. Cal all of a sudden, even though without that good record, they've been playing pretty well. The record's not good, but Jeff Tefford might be coaching for his job. This is one of the most intriguing, non-talked-about games of the week to me. I'm almost tempted to take Cal because they're at home, but I just think Washington doesn't care, and you got to like Sarkisian. I'm going to take Washington. How about you, Greg?
Washington also.
And Jimmy?
Well, there's no sense having a clean sweep. I'll take Cal here.
Yeah, I'm surprised you've got all yours circled today. So usually you wait every once in a while.
I've got two here I'm waiting on.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, down there at the bottom. I didn't see that past the cup. Okay. Boston College at Wake Forest. The I have no idea why this is on the sheet game. Who you got, Greg?
Oh,
I think Wake Forest is favored, right? Yeah, Wake Forest is favored. I'm going to take Boston College.
I'm taking Wake Forest at home.
TCU at West Virginia. West Virginia less than a touchdown favorite, but at home. Jimmy, who you got?
I'm going to take West Virginia.
I'm going to take West Virginia, too. Greg, who you got?
Let's all be West Virginia.
All right. How about Texas at Texas Tech? Texas at Texas Tech. I guess I have to pick this one first. Texas Tech is favored by a touchdown in this game. There is no reason for this pick. This is my no reason pick of the week. I am taking the Longhorns. Greg, who you got?
I'll go with Tech.
Jimmy?
I'm going to take Texas Tech.
Now we get into some of the Big Ten games. A pair of those. Penn State at Purdue. Who you got, Greg?
Penn State.
Well, I take Penn State every week, so I'm taking Penn State.
I'm going to take Purdue to be different.
All right. Purdue 3-5, a lot of bad things going on out there all of a sudden. Iowa at Indiana. This is the hard to believe this game is on the sheet because of the way we started the year. Indiana wins this game. They basically control their own destiny to make the Big Ten championship game, pick to finish last in their division. How in the world? But Iowa has been fairly embarrassing. Can this happen? Jimmy, Iowa, Indiana, who you want?
I guess I'm going to go with Indiana.
I had Indiana to pull the upset last week. What do you think, Greg? Iowa, Indiana?
I'm going to go with Indiana also.
Iowa should not have beaten Michigan State, but at least they were in the game. There's no way Indiana can play in the Big Ten championship game, and we must stop that talk now. I'm going to take the Iowa Hawkeyes on the road, and I don't feel good about it. Oregon at Southern Cal. Oh, man. No. Oregon's too good. What do you think, Greg?
Oregon.
Jimmy?
I've got to take Oregon.
And the final game, this is the game of the week. Number one, Alabama at number five, LSU, right here on ESPN Radio Saturday night. Greg, who you got?
Alabama.
Jimmy, who you got?
I'm taking Alabama.
I told you during the break that I was poised to take LSU all week long because, as I've said, it's nearly impossible to come in and win at LSU. But LSU cannot score. I don't care if it's 9-6. They're going to have the six. They've been lying in the weeds all year for this game. This is the only game that they need to prepare for. Yes, they squeak by some of the other games out there, and they've even been clipped once. But this is the only game LSU has to prepare for all year, because if they don't win this game, they're not going to reach their goals anyway. It doesn't matter if they're 5-5. They need to beat Alabama. I am taking the Bengal Tigers of LSU for the upset. And once again, giving Greg a great opportunity to win the $180.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what I think. If I'm right about LSU, they haven't scored a touchdown in the last eight quarters. Isn't that right?
Yeah, they might not tomorrow night either. But if it does come down to the tiebreaker, we have our points down. Nebraska, Michigan State, total points in the game tomorrow afternoon, Greg, between Nebraska and Michigan State. What is your tiebreaker?
I'm going to go with 41.
41 for Greg. You are thinking just like the madman here in Jimmy Langan. You're just a point above him. I didn't think you could. I thought for sure you'd be in between our two selections. But Jimmy has 40, so if it goes over 40, you've got the tiebreaker. And I took 20. I took 20 in this ball game. Greg, congratulations on the prizes so far. And, hey, buddy, we're rooting for you to bring home the $180. Best of luck.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Jimmy,
good luck to you.
You pick 40 points. How do you think the game's going to come down? How's it going to get to that? Is it going to be Nebraska big, Michigan State big, or will it be close?
You know, I was thinking like 23-17 is what I was thinking. But it doesn't, you know, I thought maybe they'd get a couple defensive touchdowns here. But I think the defense is going to be the key in the game. But Nebraska's going to get some points. And I think maybe Nebraska's defense will give up a touchdown at, you know, or two at Michigan State due to some field position issues. But I just came up 23-17. It's hard to beat somebody, you know, 10-0, 13-0.
Thanks. Since we've already talked about this, I've been thinking all week and listening to Sean Callahan and Sipple and reading the reports and watching the reports and listening to the coaches and listening to the questions, even listening to the Michigan State people. Their offense is just terrible. It's horrid. And Nebraska has had great success against these pro-style offenses. And maybe the Nebraska defense isn't as talented. They don't have Levante David, for instance. They don't have that stud middle linebacker. But it seems like they're getting better. This is just my gut feeling. And you are so right in your last comment that if Michigan State forces turnovers, and they probably will, and I didn't want to think about that. But here's what I'm going. This is one of the unusual picks. You never pick anybody to get shut out. I'm picking Michigan State to get shut out. Nebraska 20, Michigan State nothing. That is my prediction. So there you have it. Tomorrow, 9:30 a.m. for our football contest on the pregame show, The Breeze, 94.5 FM, kickoff at 2:35. Aurora playing tonight at Beatrice in high school football quarterfinals in B. Silver Lake at Harrison against Sioux County. If you look west, you'll see Wyoming. They play this afternoon at 3. So best of luck to those teams. And we're at it again. Busy weekend. Lots of stuff going on, Jimmy.
You know, Doug, at the very beginning, we were talking in July or August about Kearney Catholic playing Adams Central. And we said, hey, it might happen. And, you know, here it is. What an exciting football game for the area.
Great game, and it's Tuesday night right here on ESPN Radio. Want to thank our guests that joined us on the program today, Jason Strayhorn from the Michigan State Radio Network, Nebraska volleyball coach John Cook, Jimmy Langan, the co-host. Have a great weekend, man. For our producer-engineer Jeff Babel, I'm Doug Duda. Thanks for listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.